This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Fulbright scholar and economist Loretta Napoleone joins me on the long line. Her new book is Rogue Economics. Loretta, good afternoon to you.
Yes, good afternoon.
Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Fascinating book. It really is, and there's so much in here. Can we start first with just sort of Napoleone 101? Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm an economist, and I worked for many international organizations. In particular, I worked for the National Bank of Hungary before the Iron Curtain came down, so I actually lived in Hungary for a couple of years. And then in the 1990s, I went back to university. I did a PhD in terrorism because my childhood friend was one of the leaders of the Red Brigades. So she asked me to basically write the story of the Red Brigades. And this is how I stepped into the economics of terrorism. And now I'm back in the field of economics with this new book.
And, of course, your first book, folks will know you as the best-selling author of Terror, Inc., Tracing the Money Behind Global Terrorism, a master's degree in international relations and economics from Johns Hopkins, and a PhD in terrorism from the London School of Economics. The new book is Rogue Economics, Capitalism's New Reality. Tell us what was going on in your life when you knew this was your next book.
Actually, the idea to write this book came to me about 2.5 years ago when I was doing my book tour for Insurgent Iraq. And in fact, I was in Washington, D.C. at that time, and somebody said, you must read this new book, Freakonomics. So I read the first chapter, and all of a sudden I thought, oh my gosh, this is just a tiny little picture of what is happening at global level. And so the idea came to me. I thought, you know, maybe I should research these new interdependencies. And then my youngest son, forced me one day to watch The Matrix. I'd never seen that film. I'd refused to see because I didn't know really what it was about. And when I saw it, I realized that, yes, that was it. You know, we live in a world where we're trapped in a web of commercial, economic, and political illusions. So the idea came to me that maybe I should have researched that web and I should have tried to find the truth inside all of this fantasies.
My guest is economist Loretta Napoleone. Her new book is Rogue Economics, Capitalism's New Reality. So you say we're trapped in a market matrix of myths and fantasies. What are those constructions that have us asleep? What are you referring to?
Well, basically, everything that we see, the reality that we're seeing, is filtered through this matrix. So, for example, we don't know anything about the products that we consume. In the book, there is a chapter all about fish piracy. Now, 70% of the fish we eat, and that's it's not only in the West, but also in the rest of the world, is what is considered black fish, because it's fish which is fished illegally in the territorial waters of other countries, which is poached, but also fish that is fished by the fish pirates. Now, we don't know that. That's just a tiny little example of all, you know, the illusions. The tobacco industry in the last 20 years has generated higher profits than the oil industry. And this is because tobacco is consumed in large quantities in third world countries. In China, 500 million people, more than the population of the United States, actually smoke. Now, the tobacco industry has invested these huge profits in the food industry. So when we go to the supermarket, sometimes we buy products which are owned by the tobacco industry, and we don't know.
Loretta Napoleone is the author of Rogue Economics. You write in your book about the rise of slavery in Europe and Russia, I would assume, the European sex trade, the slave trade. As democracy has increased throughout Europe, so has slavery. Explain this.
Yeah, this is really the first great rogue economics example. And for Rogue, I don't refer to the criminal economy and illegal economy only. I refer to those gray areas which are created through great transformation, and the great transformation of today is, of course, globalization. Inside these gray areas, there is no proper legislation. There is not a set of rules which people can follow, and it is in these gray areas that the globalization outlaws, these new rogue entrepreneurs, you know, can actually thrive. And the example of the sex trade in Western Europe is very interesting, because the collapse of the Soviet Union created vast unemployment in many economic sectors, in particular in the sector where women were employed. So women unemployment went from virtually zero before 89 to 70 to 80% in the mid-1990s. Women were desperate, and they decided to do anything to earn a living. And it is at this point that the Russian mafia started to trade new merchandise, basically Slavic women. And we saw an influx of these women into the Western European market. Prices of prostitution services collapsed. Demand also became buoyant because there was so much on offer. But the even more interesting thing is that the recruiting of most of these women took place during the beauty contests, which were taking place in the Soviet Union, in the former Soviet Union. And these beauty contests were used by the future oligarchs in order to transform non-convertible rubles into convertible rubles. So this was a mechanism built in into the new economy, into the transition from a communist economy into a market economy. So the interdependency between the transition of a non-monetary economy into a monetary economy, a market economy, and the sex trade is one of these rogue interdependencies.
We're talking with best-selling author, economist Loretta Napoleoni. Her new book is Rogue Economics, Capitalism's New Reality. Loretta, tell us about China. You write in your book that the new emperor wears red clothes. What is it you think that Americans especially need to understand and know about what's happening in China?
Well, I think what Americans have to understand is that the great success of the Chinese economy in a globalized world, so in global capitalism, is very much linked to what Mao did to China during Maoism. I mean, the Cultural Revolution basically laid the ground to the fake industry, because he wiped away the past. So history has no meaning in China. Everything is based upon space. So the idea to reproduce, to replicate originals for Chinese is perfectly acceptable, which, of course, you know, for us, it is not. So that gave the cultural, the psychological edge that the Chinese have in this market vis-a-vis us. But also, the other interesting thing about China is that when Deng Xiaoping came to power after the death of Mao, after 1989, he decided to establish a new compromise with the population. So he encouraged people to become rich. So he encouraged people to embrace capitalism, but at the same time, at the condition that they would not question the political establishment. So that gave the Chinese the possibility to do anything in the economic field. So they became the best performing rogue entrepreneurs in the new globalized market.
And what is it that, I mean, if you could look into your crystal ball for us, I mean, what do you see happening in China? I mean, you say that there's more people addicted to cigarettes in China than there are American citizens, which I had never heard before. That's unbelievable. But tell us more about what you see happening in China as we look out, you know, 10, 20, 50 years.
Well, I think, first of all, we have to say that today China is in a situation very similar to what England was during the Industrial Revolution. The economy is moving very, very fast. politics is not interested in controlling the economy, and great progress is taking place. Of course, there is also great exploitation. Now, this is, to a certain extent, creating the ideal condition for new wealth to be created, but also to be redistributed. So we see that the living standard of the average Chinese are rising progressively. Now, it will take 10 to 20 years for this living standard to reach the countryside, the most remote areas of China, but this will happen. So once the majority of the Chinese population will have achieved a certain kind of wealth, then that population will start demanding reforms. They will start demanding new regulations. So it is a process that, to a certain extent, does mirror the process of Europe during and after the Industrial Revolution.
Well, we certainly remember back in the summer of 1989 when a generation of Chinese stood up and demanded reforms.
Well, that's a very important. This is a very important point, because when the decision of Deng Xiaoping to open up the economy came right after Tiananmen Square, after 1989, he realized that there was tremendous, tremendous social pressure in a country that was not liberal politically, but also a country that was hungry, a country where there were people starving. So his idea was to declare that Mao had been right 70%, and that 30% of mistakes of Mao was the fact that he had not liberalized the economy. So he encouraged people not only to grow economically inside China, but to go abroad and look for funds. And in fact, the initial economic leap forward of China in the early 1990s was all funded with money coming from the West, including Wall Street.
Yeah, the money has just flooded in there. We're talking with Fulbright scholar and best-selling economist Loretta Napoleoni. The new book is Rogue Economics, and we'll be giving away a free copy here in just a few minutes. She's also the author of the best-selling book Terror, Inc., Tracing the Money Behind Global Terrorism. Loretta, if you can, turn your economist gaze now to the West, and specifically our economy here in America. And it has certainly been, we've certainly seen better times, but what do you think is happening now that's particularly alarming, and what is your prescription for what we should be focusing on?
What is happening today, the subprime crisis, the mortgage meltdown, it is a consequence of rogue economics. Again, a gray area was created, and this is after 1989, so early 90s, with the deregulation of the markets, but also the transformation of a growing debt into an asset, which took place through an instrument which is, everybody knows, are the derivatives. Now, the derivatives, for example, are not regulated. There is no legislation that actually can track their performance or even regulate their performance. So this is how the bubble that is about to burst now has been created. Clearly, the problem is lack of regulation. Nobody broke any law. I mean, you can't say that UBS, which has just announced $19 billion losses in the subprime, or Carlyle Capital, or even Bear Stearns have broken any legislation. But the truth is that they were moving inside an economy which had no regulation, no limits, no controls. What is the solution? The only solution is to regulate this market, but not going back to what it was before globalization, because globalization is good. I mean, it is the engine of the progress which is taking place today, but a sort of code of conduct so that we can avoid a crisis like this in the future.
Now, Loretta, what do you say to some conservatives and certainly libertarians who say, no, the answer is less regulation and just let the market do whatever it's going to do and it'll work itself out, and some people will get rich and some people are going to lose their home, and that's just the way it is?
Absolutely. Well, I think, you know, this is a philosophy that can be applied. But then if this is the philosophy that we want to apply, then the Fed shouldn't rescue anybody. So then the Fed should let Bear Stearns also go bankrupt. Then the Bank of England should let Northern Rock, which is a bank which is very much in the same kind of problems of Bear Stearns last autumn in the United Kingdom, which was nationalized, they should let that bank go. But the problem is that if we let one single major bank go bankrupt, there will be a domino effect, because all the banks are interlinked, all the banks have debts with each other. So we will have another 1929. But of course, if this is the way forward, if we want the market to adjust itself, then we'll have to go through major crisis. And the market will adjust itself. But are we ready for the consequences at social level? I don't think so.
Best-selling economist Loretta Napoleoni, the new book is Rogue Economics, Capitalism's New Reality. I got about a couple of minutes left, Loretta. Can you tell us, in your epilogue, you write about the new social contract. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean about that is that the epicenter of the economic world is shifting eastward. So we'll see China, we'll see India, but we'll also see the Islamic countries, in particular the oil-producing countries, getting more and more important in the field of finance. So these countries will establish a new economic model, a model which is going to be different from our model. Now, we're still talking about capitalism, but it'll be a new reality of capitalism, so a mutation, let's say. And within that new model, population of this part of the world will renegotiate the social contract. So they will negotiate a new condition to have, you know, their rights, their duties, their liberty regulated by the state.
Loretta Napoleoni, a Fulbright scholar, a PhD in terrorism from the London School of Economics, best-selling author. Her new book is Rogue Economics. Loretta, it's been an honor to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.